Hopefully you've got side of a handout saying three dimensions of relating. And the reason the date is wrong is that I gave this talk in the morning last week. I'm doing it now because I thought it was an important talk for you to hear as well. But there will be a bonus talk on the website if you want to follow it up about a square, which I talked about this morning. So I'll send a link to that later, but we're thinking about three dimensions of relating. We live in a culture that wants everything to be sorted, that encourages us to want to know where we're going and every step that's going to get us there. And as Christians, we can follow that way of thinking. We can try to find the silver bullet, the perfect 10-point plan that will sort out our lives and our church forever. But if you've been a Christian for any length of time, you'll know it's not like that. If the Christian life was a journey, it would have lots of ups and downs, lots of obstacles, lots of unexpected turns. Of course, we know where we're going, heaven, to be with Christ forever. But in the meantime, often we can't see beyond the next step. And that's okay. And actually, there's a sense in which that's the way it should be. Think of that famous verse from Psalm 119. Your word is a lamp for my feet, a light to my path. I'm sure we've all been in a situation where we're in the dark on a path. Maybe you've been out walking and it's got dark before you expected it to, or you've got lost or whatever. But you're on the path in the dark, and the arc of the torch or the lamp just stretches a couple of paces ahead. And actually, that's all you need to see the next step or two on the path. And I've often felt like that in my walk with God. He's shown me just the next step or two, and I can't see beyond. But actually, that's all I need to see. And in many ways, it's good for me to only see the next step, because it keeps me dependent on my loving Heavenly Father rather than depending on myself and my plans. But it's helpful to have tools, discipleship tools, to help us work out under God what the next step might be. And that's why at the moment, when I speak, I'm speaking about discipleship shapes that I'm finding helpful and thought it would be helpful to share. And each shape illustrates an important truth about discipleship. And we started where we have to start, the firm foundation that Jesus is the one Lord. Then we thought about the circle, two questions to keep on asking. What is God saying to me? What am I going to do about it? And it'd be worth following up on that talk, particularly if you didn't catch it. It's on our website. And now we're thinking about the triangle. You can see the triangle on the handout. A triangle, I'm sure we all know, has three corners. And those three corners represent three dimensions of relating. And you'll remember that if you were here at the beginning of January, as we looked at the vision for the year ahead, you'll remember we looked briefly at the triangle. We're going to think a bit more about it today and spend some time thinking how it might be helpful for each one of us in our own walk with God. Now, as we turn to the Bible, we see that these three dimensions are present both for an individual and for a church community. And we'll look at each in turn. We'll focus mainly on the first bit, because we looked at the second one again back at the beginning of January. But we're going to focus on Jesus, who is 100% God and 100% man, and who in his humanity is able to teach us about how we relate to others. So Luke 6, if you haven't got it open, it's worth turning to it on page 1033. And this is one of lots of examples of Jesus' ministry. We might call it a typical day in the life of Jesus during those vital 3 years that he was traveling around and teaching and ministering before his final days in Jerusalem. But conveniently, in this passage, we see the three dimensions of relating. So first in verse 12, we see him relating up to his heavenly Father, what the diagram describes as intimacy and intentionality in relationship with God. So verse 12, one of those days, Jesus went out to a mountainside to pray and spent the night praying to God. We know, if we've read the Gospels, we'll know that Jesus often went off to pray on his own. That's where he drew his strength for the ministry that he had to do. It's where he gained his sense of identity. It's where he gained the wisdom that he needed. And particularly at this point, as he's about to make a vitally important decision about the 12 disciples that are going to spend the next 3 years with him. He needs to spend time with his heavenly Father. So this is the first dimension of relating up to God. And each of us individually needs to do the same. It may not be appropriate to spend the whole night in prayer, not very often anyway, we need our sleep, but it is appropriate to find ways to relate to our heavenly Father. How can we do that? Well, the obvious example is daily Bible reading and prayer. And this is something we can all do, whatever stage we're at in our Christian journey, or even if we wouldn't yet call ourselves a Christian. You might remember a couple of weeks ago, Mike Talbot, when I interviewed him, he encouraged us that daily reading the Bible and praying is one of the most important things we can do to grow our relationship with God. And certainly that's been my experience over the years. So if you don't do that yet, can I encourage you to start? And if you don't know where to start, we'll speak to someone, find out what they do. Look at the page on our website that talks about daily Bible reading. And I've said many times that for me personally, the most important thing at the start of the day is to get myself happy in God through prayer, through Bible reading, through worship songs, whatever it takes. So that's up. Second, in towards each other. We see Jesus relating to what we might call his community or his church, what the diagram describes as friendship and community as extended family. So verse 13. When morning came, he called his disciples to him and chose 12 of them, whom he also designated apostles. Simon, whom he named Peter, his brother Andrew, James, John, Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew, Thomas, James, son of Alphaeus, Simon, who was called the Zealot, Judas, son of James, and Judas Iscariot, who became a traitor. Now, because Jesus is God, he has the privilege to actually form his church. Having prayed about who to choose, he chooses those he'll spend time with. We're not God, so we receive our church. We gather in a community. And of course, initially, we might make a choice about which church family to be part of. But then we relate to that church. And I think for us at the Annaby Churches, this has been a real highlight over the last couple of years as we've emerged from COVID and as we've grown in our relationship to each other. So we've seen deep community growing in different contexts, here at 10 o'clock in midweek groups, in one-to-one relationships. And we've prioritized growing in gospel culture, living out the gospel of grace that we say we believe. And then thirdly, in the passage, we see Jesus relating out to the world, what the diagram describes as mission and service, where we live, work, and play. So verse 17, he went down with them and stood on a level place. A large crowd of his disciples was there, and a great number of people from all over Judea, from Jerusalem, and from the coastal region around Tyre and Sidon, who'd come to hear him and to be healed of those of their diseases. Jesus prioritized his disciples, but he didn't limit himself to spending time with his disciples. He had a mission to the whole of Israel and ultimately to the whole world. So he made sure that he spent time with wider groups of people, the crowds who wanted to hear him. And of course, he was reaching and ministering to them. At the same time, he was also teaching his disciples how to reach them and minister to them, because he knew he wouldn't always be around. And then it would be up to the disciples to continue the work of spreading the good news. And so for us as individuals, we spend time in the world among those who don't yet follow Jesus, when we're at work or school, when we're with our family members who don't believe, when we're doing a hobby or club or group with others. And I suppose the question for us is, when we're doing those things, do we view it as part of our Christian life? Do we view it as one of our key ways of relating? Do we see it as a form of mission and service to the world, an opportunity to witness to Christ, to make him known through our lives and our words? And if we don't do any of those things, if we don't rub shoulders with those who aren't Christian, it's worth asking, why not? I found myself in that position a couple of years ago. I realized I needed to make a change, so I joined a squash league. So I play regularly with a variety of people. I lose every time. I'm always at the bottom of the league. But the great thing is, when people thrash you, they're happy to talk, particularly if you're cheerful about losing. So I recommend it. So that's personal priorities, learning from Jesus. The example of community context, up in and out in a community context, is the one we looked at a few weeks ago. So the early church in Acts chapter 2, on the day of Pentecost, after 3,000 people are added to the number of the church. And I'd encourage you to revisit the sermon on the 7th of January on our website. Very briefly, up towards God, if you remember that they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to prayer. And for us today, we relate to God together as we worship God at our Sunday gatherings, as we hear his word, as we pray to him, as we meet during the week to read the Bible and to pray. They related in towards each other. So you'll remember that they shared everything. They had everything in common. Those who were in need, others provided for their needs. And so we relate inwards as we stay behind for refreshments and chat after the service, as we grow in friendship with each other, as we share our lives and our needs, as we help those in need with prayer if needed, with financial help, as we cook a meal for someone or meet other needs, as we meet for coffee with someone who's struggling. And then they reached out. In fact, their faith was so infectious that we read in Acts 2 that God added to their number daily those who were being saved, and they were held in high regard by the whole community. And we relate out towards the world as we're a godly witness in the community, through our website, through social media, through outward-facing groups like the Community Garden and Man Cave and Connect Cafe and other things, and through the missional community, as we here seek to establish and build on a missional focus. So the individual Christian relates in three dimensions. The church community relates in three dimensions. We're going to spend some time in a moment reflecting on how this, what this means for each of us. But just a couple of other reflections before we do. You may remember, if you were around with us a year ago, that about a year ago we talked a lot about love, which we're talking about today, and it's a vitally important thing to talk about. And we considered the greatest commandment. So somebody asked Jesus, what's the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. And the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. And the triangle is effectively an outworking of this. Love God, relating up. Love of neighbor, relating into the church community and out to the world. And on the handout, there's a prayer that I've been finding helpful recently. I mentioned Lectio 365 that I've been using. And in the morning devotion, this is the prayer at the end every day. Father, help me live this day to the full, being true to you in every way. Up, Jesus, help me give myself away to others, being kind to everyone I meet. In Spirit, help me to love the lost, proclaiming Christ in all I do and say. Amen. And then the other observation is about Jesus, community, and mission. You may remember that as we talked about love a year ago, we talked about gospel culture, living out the gospel that we say we believe. And we consider the three dimensions of Jesus, community, and mission. And we said it's important to start with our relationship with Jesus. And as we do that, we will love each other more within our church community. And the overflow of that will be mission, love to the wider community. So we've got the three things: Jesus, community, mission, up, in, out. They correspond to each other. And I think what Jesus, community, mission helps us to see is that if you start with up, then you should move on to in and then on to out. But I think it's still helpful to focus on all three, because it's very easy to get stuck somewhere along the line. And often, in my experience, not to get as far as out. So how can this shape help us to think in terms of these three dimensions? It's another tool to help us grow as disciples. As we ask the two questions, what's God saying to me? What am I going to do about it? It's helpful to think in these three dimensions. What's God saying to me in relation to how I relate to him, how I relate to the church, how I relate to the wider community and the world? Now, it's a lot to think about, and we can't think about it all at once, but we don't need to. I said at the start, we're on a path of discipleship, and all we need is for God to show us the next step on the path as we depend on him. So, for example, as I said a couple of years ago, I realized I wasn't really relating to that many people outside the church, and the next step for me was to find ways to do that, which meant losing at squash. And as we go on with the next two questions and the three dimensions, we realize we never get it exactly right. We've never made it, or at least not until we meet Jesus face to face. We're constantly making small adjustments. It's a bit like driving a car. If you drive, you'll know that you're constantly making adjustments. You're watching your speed. You're thinking about what gear you're in if you drive a manual. You're keeping an eye on the road. That is quite important. You're being aware of other cars and pedestrians. You're making adjustments as you need to. So we're using the two questions and the three dimensions to be constantly asking, what do I need to pay attention to at the moment? What's the next step for me? How is God working in my life at the moment? Well, we're going to spend the last few minutes on our own thinking about some questions, thinking personally. So it's helpful to have a pen. Hopefully you've got a pen. There's a few on the tables. If there aren't enough, there's more at the back. And the first question is, what is your, for you personally, what is your up, what is your in, what is your out? So for me, my up is obviously relationship to God, daily prayer and Bible reading, Sundays and so on. My in is church family, Christian friends, immediate family, Alice and the children. My out is squash, meeting people in the community and so on. So just take 30 seconds to write down for you personally, what is your up, what is your in, what is your out? So you're secure, but give yourself a mark, 1 out of 10, for each of those three areas. So if things aren't great, then, or if things are really bad, give it a 1. If things are great, give it a 10. My guess is we'll be somewhere in between. So just do that for each area. And then thirdly, which area might you need to focus on at the moment, and what might that look like? Now, that might be the area that you're thinking that you're weakened at the moment. So as I said, for me a couple of years ago, it was definitely out. It might be that actually you think, well, this is an area of strength that God might want me to build on at the moment. So it's not always the weakest thing. This is where we need to be seeking God to lead us. But what might be something to focus on at the moment? And then just on your own, turn that into a prayer. Father, help me this week to whatever it is. Just briefly, we can also do this as a church, and actually we have been doing it. So you remember last summer, over the summer, we spent some time asking God to lead us. And in one sense, this is how the missional community, the way of thinking ourselves as a missional community, has come about, as we are wanting to develop our out. But as we do that, we'll need to continue seeking God to make sure that the up and the in are also healthy.